We're talking with David Swanson, who, among other things, runs World Beyond War. We've had David on a few times. But David, why don't you just give us a brief overview of what is World Beyond War?
Thanks, Mark. Yeah, it's a global organization that does education and activism around reducing and eliminating wars and militaries. It's got a website at worldbeyondwar.org and chapters and affiliates around the world, and doing work divesting money from war profits, from weapons companies, closing bases, blocking weapons shipments, moving governments against war, and toward moving resources out of war and into human and environmental needs.
Good agenda. Now, we just passed Independence Day, which means that we're roughly 6 months into the new Biden administration, and Democrats having control of both the Senate and the House. Has the last 6 months been a productive one for the Democrats becoming a party of peace?
I wouldn't say it had been productive for them in any regard, but certainly not in that one. You have a Congress that, under the previous president, twice in both houses pretended it wanted to end one of the wars, the one in Yemen, voted for it, used the War Powers Resolution of 1973 for the first time, and because it could count on a Trump veto. There's no other explanation for the fact that Congress hasn't lifted a finger to end the war on Yemen since Biden became president, hasn't lifted a finger to end the war on Afghanistan or any of the other wars. Now, some of these Biden has, hinted and claimed and that he's partially ending, and he is partially ending, but that ought not to be good enough. The Congress is apparently putting up no resistance to even more military spending than during the Trump years. You've got a bigger military budget, a new gimmick for having military money off the books, and a proposal to have military money in the so-called infrastructure bill that's coming up, of all ironies. You've got the Biden administration carefully avoiding peace with Iran. You've got Russiagate rolling on, more money going into nuclear weapons, more antagonization of China and Russia, weapons in Ukraine, military exercises, rehearsals in Ukraine, NATO expansion and rhetoric, the Black Sea, support for Israel bombing Palestinians. It's a absolute disaster in terms of war and peace and budget and environment and everything else that's tied up with war and peace.
Well, I was looking at the World Beyond War website, and we've recently heard about the foe of a war, perhaps American troops moved down to Afghanistan, but one of the things on your website was that other war that we tend to overlook, and that we'd never actually ended, the Korean War. Any chance we're finally going to figure out how to make peace in Korea?
Well, there's always a chance, and there's no need to find anything out. It's been crystal clear, to a 10-year-old for since long before my lifetime, how to end this thing. You begin by simply ending it, by declaring the war over, and allowing South Korea to be a country and control its own military and its own fate. Get out of the way and let the two Koreas make friends and unite. Stop arming, stop threatening, stop building more bases. It's not difficult. It's just a question of political will. It wasn't really there with Trump. It's certainly not there with Biden. And of course, the U.S. media is more opposed than any other entity on earth to peace anywhere. Something we saw with Biden's meeting with Putin. Both Biden and Putin looked like Mohandas Gandhi in comparison with the presence of the U.S. media representatives.
Now, the United States says, I guess sometime later this summer or this fall, they're going to close down the American troop presence in Afghanistan. I don't know if that includes military contractors, but sort of struck me as a little odd that apparently on the big base in Afghanistan, the United States left without actually telling the Afghanistan government that they were leaving until it was after it was over. what's going to happen in Afghanistan once the huge military presence in Afghanistan from America is withdrawn? Any ideas?
It is a bit stunning to see, you know, a reflection, an echo of this story in The Onion 10 years ago, where the U.S. leaves Afghanistan sneaking out in the middle of the night. And now the U.S. is leaving Afghanistan sneaking out in the middle of the night, except that it isn't leaving. It's keeping mercenaries and contractors and CIA and special forces. They're so very special. What's going to happen is going to be an absolute disaster, but it's been an absolute disaster for decades. We're going to simply see more hypocritical concern over how big of a disaster it is. But, you know, we have known for decades that things were likely to get worse in certain ways whenever the U.S. and NATO and their allies finally got out. But the longer it took for them to get out, the worse that was going to be. So things are not going to go well in Afghanistan in the absence of a serious effort to actually help the people and the country of Afghanistan, which, you know, isn't even on the table in you know, Western governments.
Now, I also read briefly this op-ed, I guess it's on your own personal website, but the general point was that, you know, insanity may actually be more prevalent in society than it is with individuals. And, you know, you listed, you know, some concerns about the insanity of the United States basically going to war with China and our continuing deliverance of nuclear weapons. But, you know, what was the point, you know, if people haven't read the article that you were making with that about insanity versus society versus individuals?
Well, that the United States government and society and others around the world do things that are clearly at odds with stated conscious intentions. And among those are making nuclear war more likely, making global war more likely, making World War III more likely. Nobody is running around claiming that they're trying to start World War III. But if the U.S. government were intending to start World War III, what exactly would it do differently from what it's doing now? Antagonizing China and Russia, talking about plans in the foreseeable future for war on China, normalizing war and militarism, pushing to add women to draft registration as if this is just normal business, engaging in the biggest war rehearsals in the Pacific and in Europe since World War II, building up NATO around the world, building up bases and troop presence and aircraft carriers around the world, and selling weapons to most of the world, including most of the designated enemies and evildoers, and building more nuclear weapons and talking about them as usable nuclear weapons, and doing nothing to stop exacerbating real problems like climate and economic collapse that are only going to be used to contribute to the belligerence and militarism. It's not a sane policy if you want life on this planet to continue.
So we only have about a minute left. So why don't we end up, tell people you want more information, get involved in your campaigns, how to do it. But I'll also end with one last question. There's often a fear that once the Democrats take office, the voices of the peace movement can be even more muted because they tend to view the Democrats as an ally, which is a big mistake. But, you know, how is the overall peace movement speaking up these days? And
davidswanson.org, rootsaction.org, worldbeyondwar.org. Yes, of course, as in the past, the Democrats are viewed as, you know, the acceptable alternative, and we really shouldn't demand much of them. We should just remember how goofy and horrible Trump was. There is a teeny bit less of that than there was with Obama. And you're not immediately a racist if you criticize Joe Biden. We got to take that silver lining and build on it and try to get people to start identifying with principles and policies rather than with these horrible parties.
David Swanson, thank you for your time. World Beyond War. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.